And I think not being able to talk to the kids was getting to me. And then he also like brought up the Bible and therapy and all these things that was going to change. And then he convinced me that it would be different. So in January of 2018, I moved back and with him.
Were things different?
Oh, no. They were worse than they had ever been.
It starts with just taking that leap.
Man, you have to work hard. You have to be incredibly smart.
Choose something that even if it fails, you are going to be proud of it.
Doesn't matter how badly you got beaten down.
Be kind, be kind, be kind.
Become a better person, a better leader, the better business.
Go with your gut. I'm Samuel Donner, and this is Finding Founders.
This is my favorite family, but
we'll say good. Hello, nice to meet you.
This is Alexis and her three kids. I'm meeting with them at this building in San Francisco that's a school during the day and a shelter at night. 1 year ago today, Alexis and her family called the shelter home. It became a safe haven for them as the past held shadows of a 17-year marriage marred by domestic abuse. During her time at the shelter, Alexis was able to get a full-time job and eventually got a place for her family to have their own space. As we walk through what was once their neighborhood, we'll go deeper into how Alexis got her family to where they are today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Maybe we can do like a little, Michaela, you could give like a little tour of this area so far.
I've been out here.
You could do your best. Yeah, so what is your like maybe like favorite part of this area?
It used to be the sunflowers.
Sunflowers, really? Where were the sunflowers?
Well, they're gone now.
Oh,
did we
big and pretty.
Big and pretty. That's the how sunflowers should be.
There's also the possessed dolls.
Possessed dolls?
Yep, over here.
That's a little creepy.
I never noticed it.
That is really creepy. I guess like Halloween?
No.
They're always here?
Yeah.
Yep.
So do you know how long this this place has been around for?
I do not know how long it's been around. We have been gone a year and we stayed 7 months. So we were housed a year ago.
Okay.
November 10th we moved in. So November 10th was our last day here last year.
Mm.
And but we stayed 7 months and I know they were open before that.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
This is actually, is this a middle school, elementary combined?
Middle school.
Okay. In the day. And then only this section is for the shelter.
Okay. How long were you not here for?
We don't reside here anymore.
Oh, you don't reside here anymore?
No, we got housed a year ago. So we've been gone and housed a year.
Okay.
So I think we're one of their success stories.
When did you get housing?
November 10th, 2022.
November 10th, 2022. Wow.
So
this is, this is a full year.
That's official super, year. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. let's start at the beginning. Like, where were you when you realized you needed like the shelter's services?
So I was married for a long time to their father.
Yeah.
And then
How long were you guys married?
17 years.
17 years.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
He was best friends with my cousin.
Best friends. Okay. Yeah. So it was like a little bit of a familial relation.
He in high school, he was my cousin's best friend. So that's how we knew each other.
Did you guys know about each other before you met?
Yeah. I thought, yeah. My cousins were younger. He's my age. I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I thought, I was like, oh, they're her little nerdy friends. We didn't start dating until we were 20.
Okay.
So when did the
love interest start happening?
It didn't.
It didn't.
It was like he started pursuing me.
Yeah.
I wasn't interested. And then I was like, well, let's try it. Because he was completely different from the guys I had dated prior to that.
Why was he different?
He came from like a good family, a church family. And I unfortunately dated hoodlums. I thought, maybe that will be good for my spirit.
What was like the initial part of the relationship like?
Initially, it was really fun, but you have to go back to like 03, 04.
Yeah. When did you have your first kid together?
We had our first kid in January 2006.
Yeah.
So 2 years after being together.
Yeah. And what was that like?
Pretty much when I got pregnant, it no longer was good.
Why not?
It almost instantly became abusive, physical, mental, a lot of bad things. I tried to leave probably 10 times.
10 times.
Yeah. Well, okay. So let's be honest. I actually went to jail in 2006.
Yeah.
In December 2006 for stabbing him because of the abuse. So 14 months later, California passed a bunch of training and programs to teach me. And I only know this because I've gotten my felony reduced. I'm in school for criminal justice, so yeah. I've learned all these things. At the time, they weren't trained in domestic violence and all of that stuff that deeply. So he was the more injured victim. He had a stab wound and I had like a broken jaw.
And so you get the punishment.
Right.
Well, did he get just like scot-free?
He got nothing.
Nothing.
He was considered the full victim.
And when did that happen?
December 2006. And I signed a 2-year prison deal and the judge essentially threw it out the window. He went against probation because all of the blood evidence wasn't his, even though he was a stab victim. It was mine.
Wow.
But I felt like I was, by the time we got to that point, I was 23 and terrified of being gone from all of my, from my kids for 10 years, because that's what they were offering. And so
they were going to say, like, you would have to do 10 years?
Yeah. If I would have fought it, I would have had a minimum of 10 years.
Oh, my God.
So I was terrified.
And you had kids that you like needed to take care of.
And so I was like, okay, let's sign this deal. I'll go home quicker, because you learn that in jail. They're like, well, you'll be home in this many months. And then I did. And like a dummy, I went back.
to the same guy that broke your jaw.
5 months before that incident, he was kicked out of the military for breaking my fingers and beating me up.
Why go back?
It took many years of therapy to be able to say, because I didn't love myself. Yeah. Originally, I stayed because my father's a devout Catholic, and the only thing he ever said to me was, don't care what you do, but don't get a divorce. Mm. And so I didn't. So let's fast forward. 2017, I really thought I was gone for good. Like, I thought that one was successful. Thank you. I went all the way to Santa Barbara County with my sister. And I lived with her. I went and I worked in the fields. I cut broccoli, lettuce, and cauliflower. I asked the boys. I didn't give Michaela a choice because she was only 4.
Yeah.
But I asked the boys because I was trying to get them into football and the stuff they were doing.
Yeah.
Where we lived prior, and they weren't into it. So I had asked the boys, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to go home with daddy? Because we had just went to family court. And I told them, like, I wouldn't be.
How old were they? I don't know.
2017, he would have been 7. He would have been 11.
Yeah.
And I asked them.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Can I take this really quick? So do you remember that your mom asking you that?
I do. I remember her asking me who I wanted to stay with.
Yeah.
Not as in like trying to get me to stay with her, but just wanting to get my feelings on it.
Yeah.
And I ended up wanting to stay with my dad because of I was more worried about football.
Yeah.
And leaving friends behind from
It's a hard decision
city.
To make.
Yeah.
Did you have like any like context on what was going on with like your mom and your dad?
Yeah, I finished 5th grade year in Lompoc. I think it was like the last 3 months of school.
Yeah.
We had left right after my trip from Sly Park, so I didn't know what happened and why we left, but I slowly figured out as the months went by.
Yeah. So you eventually chose to live with your dad. Do you remember what going there was like for you?
I think I slept most of the ride.
Yeah.
I do remember us stopping on the side of the freeways because we had to go pee.
Yeah.
it was a 6-hour drive, and really, I'm pretty sure it was really quiet.
Yeah.
My mom had bought me and my brother these stuffed animals, which she customized them at Build-A-Bear.
Yeah.
And she had voice messages made and recorded inside of them.
Yeah.
So they would play whenever we pressed the paw.
Oh, that's really cute. That's a great, that's a great gift.
Yeah, they're still around, just not with us. My dad has them because we moved out with him. But yeah, it was an awkward car ride. Pretty quiet, long, tiring. Yeah, we can go that way. That way. Yeah, but that was years ago, so I don't remember everything exactly. I don't remember the moment seeing my dad for the first time when we went back with him. Yeah. But I kind of do remember the first night we had pizza and soda.
Yeah.
Me and my brother, and then I think the next week we were already getting ready for football season.
Yeah.
Because it was right around the corner, summer training.
Yeah. Did you ever see your parents fight before?
I have before, like in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I seen a split second of it.
Yeah, but never really.
Never the full thing.
That's good.
I've woken up to them like arguing and stuff parents. Like that, but you know, just trying to tune that out, just going back to sleep.
Which way y'all? So?
We can go that back that way.
Or can I give that back to your mom? Yeah. So how was it having, you know, like one of your kids go back with your husband?
So the reason why I recorded the videos, I mean the voice recordings and the teddy bears was because I knew the games that he played, so I knew I wouldn't be able to talk to them no matter how much I called. So yeah, he would sneak and call me.
Yeah.
I paid the cell phone number, the cell phone bill, and I still couldn't get through. He'd have me blocked on it, so it was hard.
Wow.
For months, I didn't get to talk to them.
Any of them?
Well, she was with me.
Yeah, okay, I was with you.
Either of them. And then when they got back around me, they were really angry because they thought I didn't love them anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
Because like he was saying things that
you want to ask them.
Yeah. What was he saying?
She doesn't love you and she hates you guys. He would tell us that like all the time. So we would never like want to go back with her. But then I knew that she's our mom. So I would always give her a second chance. It was like whenever he brung her up, it was just something bad always.
Yeah.
So he would always try to like, he'd always try to make her just seem like a bad person when she wasn't.
Yeah.
And if I was to believe that all, I feel like I wouldn't be here with her at all.
Yeah.
And I feel like I would have stayed with him if I believed it.
Well, it's good that you like could discern that. And like, I mean, your mother's love is strong. So I think it, you know, kind of cuts through all the BS.
Yeah.
I'll give it back to your mom. But so you couldn't really like communicate with them.
Right.
So what when did that change?
I think he came down to visit Michaela for her birthday. It was like November, December of that year of 2017. And I think not being able to talk to the kids was getting to me. And then he also like brought up the Bible and therapy and all these things that was gonna change. And then he convinced me that it would be different.
Oh, he convinced you again?
Yep. So in January of 2018, I moved back.
January 2018.
I moved back with him.
Were things different?
Oh, no. They were worse than they had ever been. He was with my friend, like full blown with her. The day the kids had come home with him, she was there. And the kids went home with him 2 weeks after we left when we first went to court.
Oh my goodness.
And they had been together my entire pregnancy with her.
Oh.
And I didn't know, so.
And you realized it then.
Right, and when I came back, I actually had a torn rotator cuff and then on my left side and a separated muscle on my right side from when they gave me the cortisone shot. So I was injured. I had no job. I came back. I stayed an additional year and it was the worst year of my life, worse than all the other years.
Yeah.
And then September that year, my father was put on hospice And they sent him home with me. And so I was taking care of my dad. He couldn't shower. He couldn't walk. He couldn't.
So you were having to take care of him fully.
Fully take care of my dad. And in December, Nathan had a football game in LA. So we asked my uncle if he could please babysit my dad for the weekend while we went to LA for Nathan's football. And he did, and my dad fell. And we couldn't get my dad admitted into the hospital because he was on hospice, but somehow he did. And Stanford had this like last go-to treatment that they did. And he eventually got better, but we were able to see him in January. And when I went to see him in January of 2019, he gave me a hug and he told me that he didn't know what was going on with us and that he hated that he couldn't do anything to protect me because it was still happening with my dad in the house.
And so like he knew.
And so now he knew. Thank you, honey. And he told me to get a divorce. And I left 3 days later.
Wow.
So we were officially legally married for 17 years, but it took 3 years. So we were only married 14 years by the time I left permanently.
Do you think what changed is he just like your dad saw how bad it actually was?
I don't think my dad knew at all.
Because you wouldn't talk about it.
Right. So, and then like also my dad did raise me. So like I have a mouth. Like if you talk crap to me, I would, especially
you'll talk back.
Right. And I was never like one of those women who just cowered.
Yeah. Like, and like just like sit and take it.
Right. So I never fall into like this bracket of like, I don't want to be a victim anyways, but I would never fall into the bracket of
a victim
of getting help because of my personality.
Yeah.
So.
But at that point, like you weren't with him. You didn't have like a job. So like,
well, but you knew, so you knew. January 2018, I didn't have a job. I was fully healed by March and I had a job. Okay. And so when I left him, my dad got admitted into the hospital. So he wasn't coming up to Stanford down here. So he wasn't coming to stay with us. And I had asked the kids. I didn't even ask the kids this time. I told them that I was going to have to leave them with him because I had nowhere to take them. So I sat the kids down before I decided to leave. And I told them, you remember? And I told them that no matter what happens, that I love them and I will be back to fight for them, but I had to leave. And so I left them, but mind you, I didn't know everything that had transpired while I was gone in Lompoc with their dad. I knew he didn't let me speak to them, but I didn't know that he was physically abusive sometimes, because while we were together, I don't think he whooped them but twice in their whole life. So I thought they were safe with him. And so January 2019, until November, Halloween, October 31st, I was able to still see them at their football games. Yeah. He would let me come to the house and he would think we would be, like, he could convince me. But after months of
seeing, to get back together.
Right. But I would only come because he worked overnight. He drove charter buses. Yeah. And so I would come, he'd be like, I have to go to work. And then I'd wake up and he'd be there. And I'd get up and I'd leave. And when he did that like the third time, I was like, I'm not coming over anymore because this is what you're doing. And so by Halloween, it was their last game. I didn't get to see them anymore. So I went and I filed for visitation. And he went in there and he told them that I had abandoned them years prior. I hadn't seen them. And so I got like 4 hour every Sunday reunification, but it was better than nothing to me.
Yeah. Because you could see your kids, yeah.
Yeah, and then 2 months later, he was telling the judge, like, they don't want anything to do with me. They don't know me. 2 months later, we went to mediation, and the kids apparently told the mediator that they did want overnights with me. So then I got them every other weekend.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
No, they asked if we want to stay with our mom or stay with our dad. We all said our mom. And then the mediator or whatever, whoever we were talking to, she said that, are you sure? Are you sure you want to stay with your dad? Are you sure you want to stay with your mom? And she would like keep on asking until basically we're pressured to say.
So they were, the mediator was pressuring.
Yeah.
They're like, say the opposite.
Yeah. Like say, nah, we just want like visit hours. And then I think that got it moved up to like 8 hours with you, right?
No, overnights.
Overnight? Yeah. It got it moved up to overnights with her. Instead of being able to stay with her instead now.
So now that you had like overnights, where did it go from there?
The first few visits, I literally had to call the police to come in and force the order.
Because he wouldn't?
He wouldn't let them out the house. When they finally would come out of the house, it was like they just woke up or, you know, disheveled. They would have no overnight bag or anything. Because mind you, when I left with nothing. But it was okay. We figured it out. And then I guess, well, his brother was a Sacramento sheriff and his sister at the time was a Pittsburgh, California PD. And so I suspect that they told him to just leave with them and that they can't enforce it because that's what would happen.
Like he was just going to like leave with the kids to...
He would literally put them into the car while I'm there waiting and drive off.
Wow.
So I didn't get to see them much. In that year, then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And so I didn't get to see them often. I probably got to see them in a year and a half, in what, like a year, like 10 times. Like total though. And then I was like, I'm coming back home because this is where I'm from and this is where my family and my support system is. And I pretty much assumed that it would just be me driving up every other weekend and not being able to see them. And that's just what it was going to be. And then one day, I get up there, May 29th, 2021, and Saturdays was our tradition to go get donuts. When we lived together for our visits, whatever, so we maintained that tradition. And as we're driving to the donut shop, Nathan says, I told Jumani, Jumani was his dad's girlfriend's name, I told Jumani that I want to live with you. And I'm like, oh, honey, why would you do that? Because I knew that that would get him in trouble. But I didn't. You told me?
Oh, yeah, I remember dad's girlfriend.
I don't know, because I was driving and the rule in my car is the kids rotate.
Yeah.
Whoever sits in front last. It's just a rotation because I don't want the arguing.
Yeah. Smart.
And I knew you were in the back. Yes. Mikey and, you were in the front seat. She was in the back seat. Nathan was in the back seat. And Nathan said, one of them said, Dad offered us a PlayStation 5 and I was like, to stay with him. And I'm like, smart move. I couldn't afford that.
Oh my goodness.
I thought it was like a joking manner.
Yeah.
So as we're mind you, the donut shop to their dad's house is like 10, 15 minutes tops. And Nathan says, Mom, look. And I turned around and he had his sweater up and it just looked like lashes across his whole back. And I'm like, what happened? And then they all just started crying. And he said that daddy did it. And so I asked them, like, what do you want me to do? And I had to have a very honest conversation with them that they were going to have to be strong. Whatever they decided, call CPS, go to the police station. Like, you're going to have to tell them what happened. And you're going to have to tell them a bunch of times. Are you strong enough to do that? And they said, yes. So we drove to the police station. And we waited for the cop. And then the cop asked me what happened. And I told them, this is what I know, but I would prefer you to go interview them somewhere else. Because again, I know his tactics. Yeah. And they gave us an emergency order. I had to file an ex parte. On June 2nd, we were given, I was given sole custody, physical and legal. When we went back to court in July, he asked for a trial. He denied ever doing any. Mind you, when we got to the police station, I didn't even know about Mikey being abused too. I didn't know how bad it was. So,
I mean, like, it makes sense if that was happening to you, that would be his response for a lot of
things. And it's so messed up because I was naive enough to think that he wouldn't do that to them.
Yeah.
at that point, I hadn't learned to control my mouth either. So I got really upset with him when he texted me and said, "Are you effing kidding me?" And I'm like, "You beat our sons and you're asking me?" And he was like, "Oh, the lies and the stories you make up just to get them." And I'm like, "No, they didn't make this up. I didn't make this up." And he tried to gaslight me into believing yet again. But it was really bad. And we've continuously been back to court. My siblings united and got me the retainer for an attorney. Mm. Now, mind you, I'm living down here, renting one room for my brother. And now all of a sudden I have three kids.
Wow. And your family is like supporting your court fees, not the
right.
Not necessarily, you don't have like money necessarily for like
right.
living.
And so I had the conversation with them. This, now we're getting back to why I needed the housing. I had the conversation with them. We were in my brother's house for about a year before I was like, this is just not going to work.
Yeah.
Because I had tried to find like two bedrooms that I could afford, and they'd say, "Oh no, only two people," or one, even like lofts with two bedrooms downstairs and then a loft. "No, only two people." And I refused to go back to Sacramento. And I refused. So I had the conversation with them and I let them know, like, how would you feel if we went to a shelter? Because we can get help that way. And they all said it was okay.
And so how did you find this shelter specifically?
So I went to, there's like, San Francisco has like these family access centers that you have to go to in order to get services. And I went to a family access center and he recommended this shelter to me. So the next day we went to the shelter, and the next day we did it's called an intake.
Yeah.
And it was based on the conversation that I had with him before he gave, because he was kind of not nice at first. He was like, how long have you been here? Where are you from? Do you think you're just gonna come go through this system and get into housing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Who is this?
I don't wanna say.
Oh, okay.
Because he ended up being really nice.
Yeah. But so initially, he was giving you a hard time.
Really hard time. So I had told him a little bit of our story. And then the next day, we did the intake, and I would answer the questions incorrectly, where I wouldn't have been placed on a list, which is what you need. And he's like, but you see a therapist every week. You told me this. And I'm like, I do. And he's like, so your answer should be yes. And I'm like, I thought you meant like a debilitating,
yeah.
Like you don't think like that, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you like been a survivor and it's just something that happened and you just keep pushing forward. So he essentially walked me through everything, and I told him, no, I'm not currently under domestic violence. And he's like, you just showed me text messages of him cussing you out. That's still domestic violence.
Yeah.
It was just all these things that I guess I just wouldn't have assumed that it was still, because at that point I had been free for 2 years.
Yeah. And comparatively to what it was,
right.
It was so much better.
And then the kids, they had to do an intake too. So then we got placed on a list and we stayed here for 7 months. We got a, cause I did have a full-time job.
And what was it like staying at the shelter? Like how did you feel there? What was it like with the other people that were there too?
I actually, as crazy as this sounds, I did not mind the shelter at all.
Really?
The staff was amazing. All the families that were there.
Nancy was her favorite.
Yeah. Nancy was her favorite staff member. I mean, I love Nancy too, but. Yeah. They all, how was your day? How's school going? It was Miss Jackie would come in and ask him and see if he needed anything. Staying at the shelter was great. It worked perfect for me because I was in a different situation than a lot of people. Like I had a pretty good job, so I was able to get a storage for all of our stuff. I set it up like a closet. And so every few days we would go and switch out our clothes into luggage. So because you can't keep anything there overnight.
Right.
You have like a little locker that you can keep important papers and stuff.
But not much beyond that.
Right. And clothes were not supposed to be kept in there.
And so it seems like this was like something that was really, you know, like allowing you to get back up on your feet.
It did. I was able to save. And then everyone that would come in, they would kind of be a little upset, and I'm like, just be patient. It's not forever. Like, just
so, like,
be patient.
You like became almost like a mentor for the other people coming in. Yeah. And then when did you hear the news that you could leave?
October 25th.
Yeah.
Yeah. They actually called and said, you know, because it used to be a dorm room, so it doesn't have like an official living room.
Yeah.
We have a 3-bedroom and it has a kitchen with like a sitting area and a window. So it's my living kitchen is what I call it. And so the man was like, you know, it is pretty small. He's like, but you can wait a little longer. So of course I go to the kids again.
Yeah.
And I ask them, like, hey, do you want to stay on the list? We don't know how much longer. But at that point, they were kind of tired of it.
Yeah, they're like, we're ready for our own house.
Yeah, like
I need places for my stuffed animals.
Right. I was happy to finally, after so many years, have my own space. Because mm-hmm. I haven't like had yours. My own apartment since I was 19.
Yeah.
Like that's a long, I'm almost 40.
So how did it feel to finally get your own place?
Initially, it was really stressful. Because the apartments that we moved into, they make you move all of your stuff downstairs into this room. And then a company comes in. It's all done in the same day, but it's like a couple hours. The company comes in and they go through all of your stuff and inspect it for bugs and bed bugs and all of this. And then they helped us move it upstairs.
Can I talk?
He wants to give me
talk. I wasn't there at all.
Moving day, I wasn't there at all. I went to my grandpa's to hang out with him for the day. I got there around 7.
Yeah.
7 p.m. and pretty much almost everything was done besides besides me and his bed, which
timing.
Yeah, which was almost done, but I ended up helping finish it, and then they went out to watch a movie, and I stayed and went to sleep.
And what was it like staying in that place?
Wonderful. just my own space for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, until he came home. But, you
know. And then you got to share, but better to share with family.
Right.
Right.
When we were here, at least, we would, like, buy food. Sometimes because initially the dinner was really good, and then it was like they got a new cook, and it was sometimes it wasn't that great. But you know, it was the thought. We always had like a full meal. Yeah, we always had full meal, full dessert, like fruit, water, drinks. Like, they took really good care of us. I'm sorry.
Brownies and pound cake.
Oh, they were really good.
Fruit
and cookies. Fruit, of course it was.
Sweets. Yeah, the chocolate chip cookies, and I love when there was pineapple. Pineapple is my favorite fruit.
Pineapple is delicious.
So like here, I loved it. I didn't have a problem because I understood it was like an overnight program.
Yeah.
And some people would complain about having to get up and pick your bed out, but it's an overnight program.
Yeah.
And I don't think
that's what it is.
And it's a stayover program, and I don't think that they understood that, but I loved it here.
Yeah.
It was a weird emotional feeling to like, I'm leaving this because I was safe here. As crazy as that sounds, my ex knew like where my brother lived that I was.
A little bit too,
yeah. Yeah. Like when we seen Miss Catalea, she was one of the workers. She was like, oh my goodness, because it's been a year. Because once you leave, you're not allowed to come back. It's like a privacy thing.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to come back at all? Like and visit?
Not.
Could you volunteer?
You can volunteer.
Okay. That's how I get you.
Yeah. Do you have something to say?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
They used to not let us stay over on the weekends, but then when they did start letting us stay over, it was my favorite because there would be different volunteers and they would get like different foods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would bring arts and crafts.
And they would give you cookies and fruit?
Yes.
So yeah, when we first started staying here, it was Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Well, weekends too, but still couldn't come in before 7. And then Miss Jackie worked really hard to find volunteers to be able to keep it open, and then worked with the school because.
Yeah.
And then they also, like, once it got dark and started raining, they were able to bring us in a little earlier when the after.
Right, yeah, because it was raining earlier today.
Yeah.
No good.
They did a lot of things. Like, they would make sure that we had laundry soap and stuff.
Yeah.
Feminine products and such.
And I think what's really cool is, like, this is not necessarily a place to stay forever. It's a place to help you.
Right, exactly.
And I think
that's a stepping stone.
It's a stepping stone.
And
like
you're
an example of how to use it well.
Right.
So what advice do you think you would give to like other families that are maybe starting their journey here?
I would just say to keep pushing forward. Make sure that you do the work, though, because it is a lot of work you have to do on your own. Yeah. Like, you have to be working full time in order to have a place. They will put you into a program that helps you, but you still need to be working full time. And just try to stay positive and just think of it like, okay, this is just a moment in my life. And only positive things can happen from here.
Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe, rate the podcast 5 stars, and share with a friend. If you have any questions or comments, DM us at Finding Founders Podcast on Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook. Finding Founders is produced and hosted by me, Samuel Donner.
Our audio editing team lead is Ashley Jimenez, with support from
Jessica Morales, Miley Lipton,
Siyu Pan,
Kenny Wright,
Josie Yeo,
Matt Fernandez,
and Merritt Hill.
Our outreach and research team lead is Desiree Nunez, with support from
Marissa Granados,
Monica Lee,
Sarah Tiersma,
and Yao Liu.
To see more of what we're up to, subscribe to our newsletter at findingfounders.co. Thanks again for listening, and see you next week.